my cheek and kissed me. It was like we were on our own island. There was something sweet and familiar about that feeling. He squeezed my shoulders. "Hey." My smile spread.
"Ready?"
he murmured. I was so ready. Dropping his arm from my shoulders, he reached down and folded his hand around mine. It wasn't the first time he'd held my hand, but there was an intimacy there that hadn't been present before. A tight shiver curled its way down my spine as his thumb moved along my palm while we walked down to class. He had not done that before. Ryder let go of my hand when we entered speech, and I stepped in front of him, walking toward my seat. I dropped my bag on the floor and started to sit when Ryder swooped down, kissing my cheek once more. I flushed as I glanced over at him. He grinned as he sat.
"Couldn't help myself. Your cheek looked like it was missing my kiss."
A wide smile raced across my face as I took my seat. I wanted to say thank you, but saying thank you seemed weird. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't grasp any of the words fluttering back and forth in my mind. Ryder's grin grew until the dimple appeared, and I realized my wordlessness was... It was okay. In this moment, it was all right. More than that. The warning bell rang, dragging my gaze to the front of the room as Paige walked in. My smile slowly faded. Her long legs carried her to the back of the class. "Hey," she said to Ryder. Ryder nodded in her direction.
"Hey there."
She didn't say anything to me, which was kind of normal, and as class started, I wondered if she knew that Ryder and I were together. My stomach shifted. Even though I was not a fan of Paige, I felt bad for her, because I believed she really did like him, and that had to hurt. People broke up all the time, but that didn't make it easy. I didn't know what to do with those feelings. Mr. Santos announced our next speech would be a persuasive one. I waited for someone to point out that I hadn't given my speech yet. Either no one noticed that I hadn't, or they didn't care. I hoped it would stay that way. When class ended, I quickly gathered my stuff as Hector stood and faced us. He started to speak as Kiara walked toward us, but Paige beat him to it. "Can we talk?" I didn't have to look to know the question was directed at Ryder. Pressing my lips together, I focused on zipping up my bag while my heart thumped in my chest. Would Ryder talk to her? Was that okay? Should it be okay?
"What's up?"
Ryder replied after a moment, and I looked up. He was standing beside my desk. Paige stepped closer as Hector turned away, but I caught sight of the wide-eyed look he shot in Kiara's direction. She halted, seeming to know not to come any farther. "I was thinking we could talk somewhere a little more private. What about later tonight?" Paige asked.
"I've got to work,"
Ryder replied, and I stood swinging my bag over my shoulder. Paige ran her tongue along the inside of her mouth. "What about after?" Ryder looked away, rubbing a hand across the center of his chest.
"Paige."
"What? You can't talk to me now? I thought we were still friends." She folded her arms across her chest. "Friends talk." He opened his mouth and then closed it. A moment passed.
"We are friends, Paige. You know that."
"Hey," Hector spoke up, stepping toward her.
"Walk with me."
She snorted. No.
"I think you should," Hector insisted, "because you really don't want to do this right now."
"Do what?" she shot back. "I just want to talk to Ryder." "It's okay." The two words spilled out of me, and all of them looked in my direction. I swallowed, hard. "I mean, it's okay if you two need to talk. I'm going to head out to the car."
"Don't."
Ryder reached out, catching my hand. His fingers threaded through mine. Paige's gaze sharpened on me and then dropped to our joined hands. Her glossy pink lips parted as understanding flashed across her face. Her chin jerked up as her brows rose. "Seriously?" Her question was directed at Ryder. You did break up with me to get with her?
Oh, God.
Kiara pursed her lips and started backing up. Hector closed his eyes.
I never said I wasn't,
Ryder said so quietly I almost didn't hear him. He squeezed my hand. Paige unfolded her arms and I tensed, because for a second I thought she might come across that desk and strangle one or both of us. But then her lips curled into a smirk, and she barked out a harsh laugh. Yeah, whatever. Like I didn't see this coming the moment she showed up. I wanted to hide, but that would make me a coward, the worst kind of coward, so I forced myself to stand there.
I don't know what to say, Ryder said, and his hand tightened around mine again. I really don't.
That's okay, because I do. Paige lifted her chin once more. Don't come crawling back to me when she lets you down, because that will happen.
My eyes narrowed, and the words burst from me. That's not going to happen.
Paige looked at me and laughed again. Whatever. You and I both know how this is going to play out. She wiggled her fingers as she pivoted. Peace out.
Standing there, I watched Paige stalk out of the class while Hector twisted toward us.
Shit, he said. That was awkward as hell to witness.
True dat, Kiara murmured.
Try being in my shoes, Ryder said, sighing.
He pulled me into his side.
You okay?
Yeah, I blinked. Why wouldn't I be? Ryder raised a shoulder in response. I started to ask if he was all right, but Paige's words had left me cold in the chest, because she'd said them with such certainty, like she knew Ryder and I wouldn't last. We wouldn't be forever.
Chapter 26.
Hey, baby.
The words came from behind me as I rummaged through my locker Tuesday morning. Recognizing the voice, I looked over my shoulder. Jaden stood there, his face bruised under his eye and swollen along his cheek. I shoved my history text into my bag, squeezing it in next to my binder.
How are you feeling?
Like a million bucks.
He laughed at my doubtful expression.
Okay, I'm feeling like a quarter and maybe a nickel.
My lips curved up as I closed the locker door.
I wanted to say again that I'm sorry about Saturday.
Jaden's bloodshot gaze moved away from me, to the scuffed floor.
I didn't know you'd be with Ryder.
It's all right. I turned away from my locker. Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
He shoved his hands into the pockets of his baggy jeans.
So you and Ryder are a thing now, huh?
Biting down on my lower lip, I nodded. Ryder had worked last night at the garage, finishing up the job on the car he'd shown me.
We're hanging out today after school.
That's real good.
He smiled, lifting that swollen cheek, and it looked painful.
Ryder is a good guy.
We walked down the hall side by side.
He worries about you.
He always has.
He paused.
I looked up to them, you know? Hector and Ryder. They don't think I care, but I do listen to them, and I am listening. Got new plans now.
When we reached the doors, he looked up. His gaze was distant. Off.
I gotta head down the hall. Just wanted to swing by. See you later, cariño.
Jaden was off, dodging taller kids before I had a chance to say another word. I stared after him for a moment, and then slipped through the open door, hoping that Jaden wasn't just listening to Hector and Ryder, but that he was hearing them.
Keys?
Ryder asked as we walked to my car after school. Curious, I fished them out of my bag and handed them over. I tossed my bag in the back seat, and Ryder dropped his notebook next to it.
Where are we going?
It's a surprise.
He opened the driver's door. A giddy, probably dumb smile appeared as I walked to the other side. The whole relationship thing was brand new, and I didn't really have any idea of what to expect, but I knew enough to know that surprises were good. Once inside, Ryder turned the key in the ignition and looked over at me. His hair brushed his brows as he grinned.
What time are you expected home tonight?
8, I said, since they both were at the hospital this evening.
Perfect, he said, backing out.
He stroked his fingers along the steering wheel as we left the parking lot.
I've been saving up money for a car. I like this one. Probably out of my price range, though.
Stretching out my legs, I looked over at him, and for a moment I was struck, silly, by the fact that we were here, and this was happening. Then I pulled it together. Barely.
What are you looking at getting?
One shoulder rose as he pulled out of the parking lot.
Not sure. I'm thinking about a truck, not a big one. But Drew has been keeping an eye out for me, and the older ones definitely fall into my budget.
I thought about that for a moment. I like that.
What, trucks?
Yes, but I like that you're planning ahead, I explained, watching him. One brow rose, and then he chuckled.
I'm not sure how to take that.
I smiled softly. It was hard to explain, but Ryder didn't see much for himself. Literally had little to no expectations, but he was planning ahead. Buying a truck might not be a big deal, but it was something. My gaze didn't stray from him often as he drove and we talked. Well, Ryder talked mostly, and I listened. It was weird. Things were the way they'd been last week, but different all the same. Whenever he glanced in my direction, the intensity to his gaze, no matter how brief, was infinitely more. It was heavy and warm. Kiara invited me to a party this Saturday, I told him, remembering the conversation from yesterday. With everything that had happened in speech class with Paige, I'd temporarily forgotten.
Peters.
I nodded.
Yeah. You've gone?
He shook his head.
You thinking about going?
I don't know, I said honestly. I'd brought it up to Ainsley last night via IM, and she'd thought going would be an amazing idea, then invited herself along.
Would you go?
If you wanted me to.
He flashed me a quick grin.
His parties are pretty big. A lot of people show up.
My stomach dipped. I think it might be fun.
Probably will be.
There was a pause.
How are Carl and Rosa going to deal with that?
I almost laughed at the idea. I don't know. I don't think they'd be totally against it. I mean, they want me to be more social.
Uh-huh,
was all he said, and I wasn't sure what that meant. But then he started speaking again.
Speaking of social, have you thought about homecoming?
My tongue twisted into a pretzel. Several seconds passed before I could get it to catch up to my brain. Not until I saw the banner last week. I don't know. Part of me wants to, but it was a lot, and so much had changed. To some it was just a dance, but it was a dance with people crowded together and loud music. I frowned. A party would also probably be like that, but with slightly fewer people. My palms were suddenly damp, and I wiped them across my thighs. There was a part of me that was excited by the prospect of finding a pretty dress and seeing Ryder dressed up, because that alone would be wow. But the school was new, the relationship was new, and going to a party was one thing. A dance? I just don't know. I've never been to a dance. Some homeschooling programs have dances, but I never went to them. He was patient while I forced the words out.
Then how about this? Why don't we skip homecoming and plan for prom?
Prom? Holy crap, that was like forever from now, and that meant Ryder was planning for forever from now with me. No matter what doubts Paige had planted in my head, there was no stopping the smile. I can do that, I said. He reached over, found my hand, and squeezed it.
Good.
Smiling like a maniac, I glanced out the window and blinked. I recognized the street from this weekend, the narrow one with the garage. But when he drove past it, my heart started thumping in my chest. "Are you taking me to your house?" His sidelong look was sly.
"Well, it's not really a surprise anymore."
The pounding in my chest moved to my throat.
"Though it probably isn't much of a surprise. I mean, it's just a house, nothing exciting."
He added, flipping his gaze ahead as he came to a stoplight. The car idled.
"No one's home. Hector's working and Mrs. Luna won't get in until around 7 or so. I have no idea where Jaden is, but he's probably out, doing something that's going to make me want to punch him later."
Anticipation swirled. I was going to get to see his house, maybe even his bedroom, and besides that being incredibly intimate to me, I was going to finally be able to confirm that he did have a nice home. Deep down, I knew things were good with Hector and Jaden's grandmother, but knowing wasn't the same thing as seeing that when he left school, when he wasn't in front of me, he was somewhere safe. These were the kinds of things a lot of people never had to worry about, but I did. We did. Because we know that having walls and a roof over your head didn't equal safety. Sometimes it was the most dangerous place of them all. Parking on the block he lived on was reserved for residents, so we found a space pretty quickly and didn't even have to parallel park. When we climbed out into the cool afternoon air, I tugged the sleeves of my light sweater down. Soon I'd have to break out a jacket. Ryder grabbed my book bag from the back seat, slinging it over his shoulder.
"We're down here."
He reached down and wrapped his hand around mine, and my heart did a little dance. We walked down the street as the brisk wind played with my hair, tossing strands across my face. The street was nice, lined with bare trees. It didn't smell bad, like it had outside the group home and Mr. Henry's house. It was just normal. Not a mixture of urine and sewage and exhaust. He led me up the cracked cement steps of an older, narrow brownstone. The red brick and green shutters were typical of the style, as was the stacked bay window. There was an autumn-themed wreath, burnt orange and red, with little plastic pumpkins on the door. Hope swelled as he pulled out his keys. This was good, really good. Wreaths didn't equate to safety. But all the windows were intact, and someone, I was guessing Mrs. Luna, cared enough to decorate for the season. Ryder let go of my hand and opened the door, holding it for me so I could step through. Inhaling, I immediately caught the scent of apples and cinnamon. My gaze was darting everywhere as he closed the door behind us. The brick row home was very much like Carl and Rose's, except older and smaller. Across from the front door were stairs that led to a second floor. The two bottom steps had an array of sneakers tucked against the wall. An old table was by the door, covered with unopened mail. Ryder stepped around me.
"Want something to drink?"
I nodded and followed him through a rounded archway and into a living room. A coffee table was covered with magazines. A decent-sized TV sat on a stand across from a comfy couch and recliner. Framed photographs of Jaden and Hector covered every square inch of the wall behind the couch. There were several photos of an older man who reminded me so much of Hector. I guessed that was Mr. Luna. The next room was a small dining area, and then we walked into a surprisingly large kitchen that looked like it still had the same appliances it had when originally built. Cabinets were stained dark, and the countertop a smooth tan surface.
"I think there's some Coke in here. That cool?"
Ryder asked, glancing over his shoulder.
"I think the milk might be expired."
"Coke is fine." I watched him open the fridge, and hand to God, I could have cried. The fridge was full of food, Tupperware with leftovers, eggs, cases of soda, packs of lunch meat, and even a vegetable or two. Looks could be deceiving. I was smart enough to realize that. Sometimes clean floors and a stocked fridge were nothing more than a facade, but the hopefulness was growing. Ryder grabbed two sodas out of the fridge.
"Is going upstairs to my bedroom okay?"
His cheeks flushed pink.
"If not, the attic has been converted into a chill spot."
It was sweet that he asked, and even sweeter that he blushed. I nodded, feeling my cheeks heat also. Bedroom is fine. His lips twitched as he handed me the Coke. Upstairs was just as homey and warm as the downstairs. We walked past two closed doors and a bathroom. Ryder's room was next to the last, and when he opened the door, he flipped on the light. Only a small window cast light in the room, a surprisingly neat room, like crazy neat. My eyes were wide as I looked around. A narrow twin bed was made, or never slept in. A clutter-free small desk butted up to a dresser. Walking around me, Ryder placed his soda on the nightstand and my bag by the foot of the bed as I turned in a slow circle. Nothing was on the walls, no posters or pictures. In the corner of the room was a bookshelf. I roamed over to it, fingering the tab of my soda. I knelt down and started checking out the spines. There was a complete set of Harry Potter, all in hardcover, and a bunch of thrillers by authors I recognized. Yours? Ryder sat on the bed.
Most of them. The Harry Potter books were here when I came.
The half-grin appeared.
But I read them.
Smiling, I turned back to the books. There were a few Stephen King's, ones I hadn't read. Actually, I hadn't read any of his books. I wasn't a big horror fan. One of the titles, a thin book, snagged my attention. It was smaller, square-shaped. My hand jerked as recognition dawned. Oh my God. I pulled it out and stood, placing the Coke on the desk as I faced the bed. He saw what I held, and he started to smile, but it seemed to get stuck. His face blurred a little and I blinked rapidly.
Aw, shit, he said gruffly, starting to stand. You still cry when you see that book.
I laughed, a wet and choked laugh. No, not really. I stared down at the cover. It was an old copy. Oh, God. It looked like the exact one from before. The yellow cover was dulled, and the illustration of a small boy clutching a stuffed rabbit was faded. The book smelled like a book, that old musty scent that clung to faded pages. Is this? He took a deep breath.
It is.
Slowly, I lifted my gaze and our eyes met.
It was your favorite book, he said after a moment. I have no idea why, since it always made you cry.
My lower lip started to tremble. It was sad.
The rabbit becomes real in the end.
He laughed, but it was hoarse and thick.
I don't know how many times I explained that to you.
But he was old and shabby and... I swallowed the lump in my throat as I walked over to the bed and sat down beside him. I stared at the old cover. All the rabbit wanted was to be real and loved. I said the last word as a whisper and then lifted my gaze to his again. I'd empathized with that poor rabbit. I'd been too young to realize that, but I'd wanted to be loved and real because I didn't feel like either of those two things growing up in that house.
I took it with me when I was removed from that house and I've kept it with me.
My breath hitched. I don't know what to say.
I never stopped thinking about you, he said in a low voice. Not one day, Mallory. That book, I don't know, it was something that tied me to you.
Oh my gosh. My chest squeezed and a tremor coursed down my arm again. The book slipped from my fingers, landing on the carpet. He reached for it at the same time I did, and we both froze, bent at the waist, our faces inches apart. He got to the book before I did. We straightened, our gazes locked. He kept a book I was positive he hated reading, because it reminded him of me. My heart practically exploded in my chest into a puddle of goo. Spray painting the heart between our names had been cheesy sweet, but this meant the world to me.
After you were gone, he said, swallowing hard as he placed the book aside. It was all I had of you.
My lips parted, and I didn't even stop to think. I lurched at Ryder, throwing my upper body toward him. It was awkward, and possibly the most unattractive thing ever. But I didn't care. His arms swept around me the same second I clasped mine around his neck. I didn't say anything. There was no need. I buried my head in the space between his neck and shoulder, and he held me as I held him. We'd been separated, but we had never really been apart. I don't know how long we stayed like that, but eventually the embrace changed. We ended up lying down on that neatly made bed. Ryder was on his back, and I was on my side, my head resting on his shoulder. There was a space between our bodies, but lying like this had my pulse jumping all over the place. Ryder was right there. I could reach out and touch him anywhere, and I wanted to touch him. But I kept my hands folded in the space between us, and he kept one hand on my waist and the other planted on his stomach. The old copy of The Velveteen Rabbit rested between us. We talked and listened to each other. I told him how I confided in Ainsley Sunday night. That had to be hard to do. His thumb moved along my waist. I'm proud of you. Grinning, I wiggled closer as I talked to him about Jaden and how I believed that he was finally hearing Ryder and Hector. Inch by inch, I moved closer to him, which left just the book between us. His hands stayed where they were, even though I wanted him to touch me. And I didn't want him to touch me. That made no sense. But I had no idea what to do with all of that. I wanted to learn, really wanted to. But I had no idea what I was doing. Lifting my chin, I watched his lips move as he spoke quietly about the time he'd gotten in trouble for tagging the school. He'd done it on a dare. I was listening, but I was also fascinated by how his lips curled around each word. I remembered how they felt against mine. At night, when I lay in bed, it was all I thought about. Those memories made me feel hot. I wanted to feel that again. Was it too soon to kiss again? He hadn't kissed me that way since Saturday. Granted, he'd only seen me in school in the last 2 days, and he'd kissed my cheek a handful of times. But I wanted more. He'd stopped talking, and his eyes were closed. Taking a deep breath, I shifted up, putting my weight on my elbow. His eyes fluttered open as my hair slid over my shoulders, curtaining my face. His gaze searched my face as he lifted his hand off his stomach. His fingers hesitated at my cheek, and then he tucked the hair back behind my ear. "Mouse," he whispered. There was a good chance I was going to start wheezing, and how unattractive would that be? I wetted my lips, and I saw his gaze drop. "I want to..." A long moment stretched between us. "Do you want to kiss me?" he asked, thick lashes lowered, shielding his eyes. "Is that what you want?" Now I wanted to bury my face into a pit of nothing. I could die. But I pushed down the wave of embarrassment. Ryder had to know I had no experience in this, even though I bet he had tons. "Yes," I gasped out in barely a whisper. "You want that? You can have it, whenever." His voice was deep, rougher. "You don't even have to ask, ever." "Good to know." "Okay." I didn't move. "I don't know what to do." His eyes met mine, and then he moved his hand, curling his fingers around the nape of my neck. "I'll show you." My heart jumped, and I nodded. With the slightest pressure, he guided me down. Our lips touched, and sparks ignited in my veins. He slowly moved his lips against mine, and I mimicked the act. After a few moments, I realized that if I tilted my head to the side, the pressure increased, and I liked that, really liked it. Ryder seemed to like that too, because his fingers tightened against my skin. Shifting my upper body closer to his, I reached out to steady myself,
placing my hand on his chest. His lips parted under mine, and I felt the tip of his tongue. Blood pounded through me in a heady manner, and as our tongues touched, I was drenched in feeling, in sensation. The kiss changed, and he tasted like soda and something good, something I couldn't name, but knew I wanted more of. I don't know how long we kissed like that. Seconds? Minutes? When we finally stopped, my skin felt flushed and muscles low in my stomach were clenched tight. Goodness. I blinked open my eyes. What I was feeling, the dizzying warmth in my muscles and the sweet pulsing in certain areas of my body, it was exhilarating and frightening. It was beautiful and messy. Ryder exhaled softly. I settled my cheek back on his shoulder. His chest rose and fell heavily, as if he'd exerted himself. My chest moved the same. We lay in silence again, our hands joined, resting on his stomach.
Yeah. He cleared his throat. You want to do that any time, you just go right ahead.
Closing my eyes, I giggled. I might do just that, I thought. We lay there for a while, and when it grew close to when it was time for me to head home, Ryder tapped my hip. I grabbed my bag, and before I left his bedroom, I took one last look at the velveteen rabbit. My heart got all gooey.
I can ride with you, he said, once we were downstairs. Catch the...
That's not necessary. Sweet of him to offer, but that was majorly going out of his way. I held out my hand for the keys. I know my way back. One side of his lips quirked.
I know.
I stared at him as he dropped my keys in my palm. Then he lowered his head, kissing me softly and far too quickly.
Walk you to your car, he offered.
I nodded, and we both headed into the living room just as the front door of the house opened. An older woman walked in, a blue lunch bag in one arm and a black tote dangling from her wrist. Her black hair was liberally sprinkled with gray and pulled back in a low ponytail. I guessed this was Mrs. Luna, but she didn't appear to be that old. I stilled as the door swung shut behind her, and she turned in our direction. She came to a complete stop, her dark eyes widening. A prickly sensation crawled over me as her gaze moved from me to Ryder.
Hey, Mrs. Luna.
Ryder stepped forward, slightly in front of me.
This is Mallory. She stopped over after school.
Mrs. Luna blinked once, and then twice.
Mallory?
She repeated. The bright gaze zeroed in on me. This is Mallory.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is her.
He answered.
Oh.
The woman shook her head and then stepped into the living room.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I didn't know you were coming over. I would have made sure I got here earlier.
The skin crinkled around her eyes as she narrowed them at Ryder. This young man should have told me. I could have made my...
You don't have to make anything, Ryder replied. Mallory has to head home anyway.
Mrs. Luna walked over to drop the tote onto the recliner. She glanced at Ryder as I stared at her. Words darted around, and I grasped at them. They slipped through my fingers as the silence stretched out between us. She shrugged off a light jacket, draping it over the back of the chair.
Well, I hope I see you again. For dinner next time, I am famous for my arroz con gandules.
Her smile was warm.
You'll love it.
It's basically ham, yellow rice, and pigeon peas, Ryder explained with a grin. It's really good.
I nodded.
And you'll see her again. Ryder nudged my shoulder.
Right?
I nodded once more. Ryder placed his hand on my lower back.
Well, Mallory needs to get going.
My cheeks burned, and irritation rose swiftly, swirling inside me. This time it had a different effect. It forced words out.
It's nice to meet you.
My face burned even hotter because I tripped all over the words. But I spoke them. Mrs. Luna nodded as she stepped to the side, The front door opened and a second later Jaden came in. A lazy grin tipped up the corners of his lips when he spotted us in the living room. The bruise around his eye had only faded a shade or two, and I wondered what Mrs. Luna had thought when she first saw it.
"Hey, you couldn't get enough of me. Following me home now."
Jaden towed off his sneakers, placing them near the door as he smiled at me.
"Stay in for dinner?"
"Nah, Mallory's got to get home," Ryder responded.
"Too bad."
Jaden walked toward his grandmother.
"Let me get that,"
he said, taking her lunch bag from her.
"I'm gonna make you dinner tonight."
Ryder raised his brows at that.
"Really?"
Mrs. Luna smiled at Jaden.
"You're so good to me," she said, letting Jaden usher her toward the kitchen. "What would I do without you, mi meme hermoso?"
"You'd be lost without me,"
he teased, wrapping an arm around her waist.
"Just like Mallory."
I smiled as Ryder guided me outside. Dusk was rapidly falling in tonight. Street lamps shone dully on the sidewalk. Ryder took a hold of my hand.
"Can I ask something kind of personal?" I asked.
"Sure," he replied.
"What happened to Hector and Jaden's parents?"
"Their father was Mrs. Luna's son. He died of cancer when they were little."
He squeezed my hand as we passed a tree.
"And their mother kind of lost it, I guess. Or maybe she never had it, I don't know. She's on drugs pretty bad. Stops by once a year. Last I heard she was living in D.C.
"That's sad," I said, wishing there was more that I could say.
"Yeah,"
Ryder murmured. We stopped by my car.
"You sure you don't need me to ride back with you?"
I nodded as I stared up at him. My gaze searched his.
"Can I ask you something else?"
Ryder grinned.
"You can ask me whatever."
"Are you happy there?"
"There? You mean in Mrs. Luna's house?"
When I nodded, he placed both hands on my shoulders and then lowered his head so we were eye level.
"I'm as happy as I can be. Got a roof over my head and four walls with food on the table. After school, it's my goal to keep those things."
But home should be more than that," I told him. "Life, it should be more than that."
He brushed his lips across my cheek.
"It should be, but it's not for everyone. You know that."
Chapter 27. Rosa and Carl sat at the dinner table Wednesday evening in stunned silence as they stared at me. The broccoli I'd forced down my throat started to sprout roots and dig into my stomach. I tensed as Carl looked at Rosa. Their eyes met, and once again I marveled at how they had the whole silent communication thing down to a science. Clearing his throat, Carl placed his fork onto the table.
"You were invited to a party."
I nodded slowly. "I've told you about Kiera. She invited me."
"And this party is at a boy's house?"
he asked. Perhaps I should have kept that part to myself. "He's a friend." That part wasn't necessarily true, and it wasn't a lie. In reality, we were acquaintances.
"A friend?"
Rosa's normally level voice pitched.
"Who isn't Ryder?"
"I do have guy friends," I replied dryly, thinking of Hector and Jaden, and she blinked. "Ainsley will go with us." Which was true. Ainsley was going. I'd even told Kiera at lunch today that I'd invited her, and she was excited to meet my friend. "I really would like to go." Silence. The two resumed their mental telepathy. I started to squirm in my chair as I stared at my half-eaten pork chop. If Rosa and Carl gave me the go-ahead for Saturday, I'd pick up Ainsley first and then Ryder. The three of us would go to the party together. A real, actual party. My stomach twisted tighter. Carl took a sip of his water and then said,
"Are this guy's parents going to be there?"
I had no idea. Probably not, but that wasn't what I was going to say.
I think so.
More looks were exchanged. Maybe I should have sounded more certain.
We would like to talk to his parents,
Carl said.
My eyes widened. What? That would be embarrassing.
Mallory.
No one's parents do that, I insisted, horrified by the prospect of them setting up a parental powwow just the way they had with my teachers behind my back. If you have to talk to them, then I shouldn't go. I just wanted...
I think it will be fine,
Rosa injected, earning Carl's sharp look.
I do, she said, meeting his gaze. And I think it's wonderful that you were invited and want to go. I also don't think we need to speak to anyone.
I about fell out of my chair. Carl raised his brows. She looked at me, long and hard.
I think you're ready for this. I jumped out of my chair and hugged her.
And I think this is good, she continued, her gaze never wavering. But she smiled, and I could tell that she really meant it.
You have a curfew, Mallory. It's 11 o'clock. We expect you home at that time and not 5 minutes past it.
Pressing my lips together, I nodded.
There are probably going to be things there that I need you to handle with maturity, she said, and Carl squeezed his eyes tight. Be responsible with Ryder.
I blushed as I thought about all the ways I could be irresponsible with him.
No drinking, no drugs, she added.
Of course, I immediately responded. And that was also true. I had no plan to partake in illegal substances at my first party. Goodness, I was already a dork most of the times. I didn't need to be a drunk or high dork.
Carl opened his eyes, but he still looked like he was about to stroke out.
We're going to trust you with this, Mallory. Rosa smiled, and I wanted to smile too. And trust is a big deal. Don't let us down.
I won't, I promised. And then I did smile, glancing at Carl. He appeared to have aged 20 years.
Thank you.
Don't thank me, he replied. This is all on Rosa.
Hush it, she replied with a grin, and then winked at me. My smile grew, and I could not wait to tell Ainsley and Ryder the party was a go. But a little nugget of worry formed deep in my belly. Part of me hadn't expected them to agree, and now that they had, there was still a little part of me that wished they'd change their minds. I was smiling as I zipped up my bag before lunch on Friday. Ryder had taken a different route between classes just so he could catch me outside my locker to give me a kiss. My lips still tingled minutes after he'd sauntered off to get to class. I might have still been a little embarrassed at the PDA. But it occurred to me as I swapped out my morning books that the things that stressed me out at the beginning of the school year, things like the prospect of being late to class, having nowhere to sit during lunch, or not having anyone to talk to, weren't things I actually worried about anymore. Now I worried about the exam in calculus next week, and what I was going to wear Saturday night. I slung my now much lighter bag over my shoulder and turned around. My step faltered as I saw Paige coming down the hall with another girl. Paige's smile slipped off her face when she spotted me. Crap. I started walking, pretending as if she wasn't there. Her steps slowed as she neared me. Then she stopped right in front of me. Tension poured into my shoulders.
I'll meet up with you later, she said to her friend while she stared at me.
You and I need to talk. Pressing my lips together, I inhaled through my nose. This day had been coming, I knew it, and the longer it had gone without Paige saying something to me, the more I hoped she wouldn't. Hoping was stupid. She crossed her arms over her chest as she eyed me. No book bag. I wondered if she was supposed to be in class.
I bet you're happy now, aren't you?
You waltz right back into his life and become the center of his universe like before. Poor little mouse needed him, and he dropped my ass in a heartbeat. I wasn't the center of his universe,
I wasn't poor little Mouse anymore. And dropping her had been hard for him. Hadn't he told me how much he hated hurting her? I didn't say any of those things, though, because the seal was in my throat, cutting off all words. Paige laughed under her breath as she shook her head. You know, this is unbelievable. He left me for this. She laughed again. Whatever. Part of me wants to beat your ass down right here. My stomach dropped. And I could. What would happen? I'd get suspended. Big deal. Wouldn't be the first time. But I'm not going to. You know why? I didn't know why, but I was relieved to hear that. Ryder would never speak to me again if I did something like that. He'd never... Her voice cracked. A fine sheen covered her eyes. He'd never forgive me. He might have dropped my ass, but I still care about him. I won't do that to him. Those were tears in her eyes. Oh, my God. But you know what? She said. You're too good for him now. The seal dropped, and I wasn't thinking about her having tears in her eyes. I am not too good for him. Surprise flickered across Paige's face. Because I'm not better than him, I continued. He's not below me or anyone. No, you misunderstood me, she said, lowering her voice. You knew Ryder, knew him, and that was a lifetime ago for both of you. Sooner or later, you're going to realize that, probably when you're sitting in your nice house in your perfect little neighborhood, or maybe when you're in college and he's looking for a place to live. At some point, you're going to realize all you two have in common is your past, and when you do, you're going to break his heart. I stepped forward. This was what she'd meant in speech, when she told me someday I'd let him down. You're wrong. She blinked. I'd never do that to him, I swore. I'd never hurt Ryder. Really? Her brows flew up. You're doing a bang-up job of not hurting him so far. I had no idea what she meant by that. I distantly heard the final bell ring, signaling the next period had started, but neither of us made a move to leave. He's lived for years with guilt because of you, she spat, anger flushing her cheeks. He had no idea what happened to you, and he blamed himself for it all. It. And now you're back, and still convincing him he needs to protect you from everything. Do you think you're the only one who's had a tough life? I didn't think that at all. Think again, Mouse. I've been taking care of my little sister since she was born, because my dad is a worthless drunk, and my mom is working two jobs just to put food on the table. And what do you think happens when my dad gets pissed? She continued, cheeks flushing pink with anger. I turn into a human punching bag so he doesn't go after Penny. But do you see me moping around about it, expecting anyone to take care of me? Oh, my God. But you could never take care of yourself, and that sure as shit hasn't changed. Jesus, you can't even stand up in front of a class and give a damn speech. Her voice grew dangerously calm as she delivered that well-aimed blow. Why do you think no one in class has given you shit about that? Anyone else, they'd eat alive. But not while Ryder's there. Oh, no. They see him with you, and they know not to mess with you. But he can't always be there. So there's going to come another time when you can't handle anything, when you can't stand up for yourself, and he won't be there. You'll fall, and he'll be left picking up the pieces, blaming himself. That's how it works. That's how it will always work for you two. My mouth dropped open as I stepped back. Even now, her voice dropped to a whisper, you can't even stand up for yourself. You know what? You're right. You're not too good for him. He deserves better. Paige stalked away, leaving me standing there in the middle of the empty hall, alone with the truth of her words. I woke up early Saturday morning and gathered up my carving supplies. I went through several bars in several hours. My room smelled like Irish spring. After lunch and on my third pack of soap, Wings took shape along the right side and then the left, held together by a center, no wider than my thumb. I hadn't slept well Friday night. Nightmares had woken me up every couple of hours, and it had nothing to do with the party later today. My nerves had taken a back seat. Paige's words were haunting me. They were mean and spiteful, but they were also true. I'd come far, but I was still Mouse. I couldn't even stand up in class to give a speech. I stood there and let Paige drag me through the mud. I didn't stand up for myself. Not yesterday. Not when Carl had dismissed the whole social work thing. Not when Rosa and Carl made the deal with Mr. Santos. Paige and I had more in common than I ever would have thought we would. She came from a bad home, still lived in one. But she wasn't like me. She dealt with it. I hid from it. I come so far, but I still felt weak, like glassware. If I fell, I would shatter, and Ryder would... He would pick up the pieces, and he would blame himself. I knew that. Paige was right. That was what we had. But I couldn't let that be all that we were. By the time I needed to stop to get ready for Peter's party, a butterfly had formed. I'd never done one of those before. It still needed detail, I thought, as I carefully placed it on my desk and turned to my closet. Going to this party was huge, but the excitement was tainted as I slipped on the dress I'd picked out the night Rosa and Carl had said I could go. It was quarter-sleeved and royal blue. I paired it with black tights and flats. It wasn't dressy, but I thought it was cute. I stared at myself in the mirror for several seconds. That was all it took to hear Paige's words again. I thought about speech class and why none of the other students had said anything about me not giving the speech along with them. As soon as that thought finished, a memory formed.
"You can come out now," Ryder said, crouched in front of the closet door.
The room was softly lit behind him, but he was nothing more than a shadow. Clutching velvet to my chest, I shook my head. Tears had dried on my cheeks. I was never going to come out.
"It's okay, Mouse. I promise."
Ryder lifted his arms.
"He's gone. It's just us and Miss Becky. You can come out."
I lowered the doll. If Mr. Henry was gone, then it was okay. Uncurling, I pushed onto my knees and crawled forward. The moment I reached the door, Ryder grasped my free hand. He pulled me onto my feet. I looked up and saw his face. His lip was split and turning an angry red. Fresh cut. Mr. Henry's fists. I'd hidden while Ryder distracted him.
"You're safe now," Ryder said. "I'm here, you're safe, Mouse. And I know you might not believe it, but I'm going to keep you safe forever."
He swallowed and swiped at his lip.
"That's a promise."
Forever. He'd promised he'd be there for me for forever. But I was of the mind that there were two types of forever. The good kind. The bad kind. I'd learned early on that the good kind of forever was, well, it was a lie. That kind of forever literally and figuratively ended in flames, because no matter how tightly you tried to hold on, that kind of forever slipped between the fingers. The bad kind of forever lingered like a shadow or ghost, no matter what. It stayed, always in the background. Closing my eyes, I focused on breathing past the burn. I couldn't think about that right now. Tears clogged my throat. But I knew I wouldn't cry. I hadn't cried since I left that house. Holy crap. I seriously hadn't cried since that night. Realizing that just now left me feeling like there was a pit of snakes in my stomach. It wasn't like my tear ducts were defective. My head was stuck. Everything was stuck, and I had to get unstuck. Starting with tonight. I took the time to do just that on the way over to Ainsley's. She lived in Otterbein, in one of the historic row homes pretty close to the Inner Harbor. I had no idea what houses went for in this area, but I knew they had to cost a pretty penny.
"You can sit up front," I said, when she climbed in the back.
She looked amazing, as always, wearing tight black jeans and a loose blouse that slid off one shoulder.
"That seat is reserved for Mr. Hotness Incorporated," she replied, buckling herself in and then leaning forward to grab the back of my seat. "Plus, I kind of like being driven around while I sit in the back seat. You're like my chauffeur."
I snorted. "In a decade-old Civic?"
"Whatever." She smacked the seat. "I've gotta admit, I'm still surprised that Carl and Rosa were down for this."
"Me too," I admitted. Before I left, they went over the ground rules once more. Carl still didn't look like he was 100% behind this. Traffic was a pain, so it took a bit to pick up Ryder, and when he climbed into the passenger seat, he sent a grin in Ainsley's direction and then leaned over, kissing my cheek.
"Mouse?"
He pulled back, his gaze moving over me. And even though I was sitting, I had the feeling he was seeing everything.
"You look beautiful."
I flushed.
"Do you know anyone like you that I can steal?" Ainsley asked, and I fought a grin. I was guessing things were not looking good for Todd.
Ryder twisted in the seat as I pulled away from the curb.
"Yeah, I do. His name is Hector."
My lips curved up.
"Hector? What? He's a jerk," she replied, sitting back.
There was a pause.
"Is he going to be at this party?"
This time I didn't fight the grin.
"Nah, he's gotta work tonight."
Ryder flipped back around and reached over to me, running his finger along the curve of the arm closest to him.
"You really do look beautiful."
My grin spread into a smile.
"You look great, too." "In other words, she says you look freaking hot," Ainsley added from the back.
And that was true. It was always true. But tonight, Ryder looked especially hot with the dark denim and worn white button-down shirt. I don't know what it was about the shirt that I liked so much. Maybe it was because the material was so thin that I imagined if he held me, I could feel his body heat. Or maybe it was the way he had the sleeves rolled up to his elbows, revealing dusky-skinned, powerful forearms. Or maybe it was just him. Probably just him. Peter's party was being held at his grandparents' house since they'd left for Florida in September. The house was in the opposite direction of the Rivas's, on the outskirts of the city, where there were larger homes with yards. Kiara had explained that Peter's older brother would be there as an unofficial chaperone, but he was 21, so he wasn't an adult.
"Wow,"
Ainsley murmured as the narrow, heavily tree-lined road cleared and the house came into view. The house was really a farm, a big old farmhouse, and there were cars everywhere, parked in haphazard lines. My stomach twisted as I took in the sea of vehicles and the people milling around the side of the white and red farmhouse. This was a lot of people.
"Probably smart to park back here," Ryder advised, "alongside the road, and keep some distance behind this car. You know, in case someone pulls..."
Oh my gosh. This was seriously a lot of people here. Sweat dotted my brow. Blood pounded in my ears. Hot, I blindly smacked against the door until I hit the button. The window rolled down, and cool air poured into the car. That wasn't all. My mouth dried. Acid churned in my stomach. The scent of burning wood was choking me. Music pumped, and the hum of conversation and laughter echoed in my ears. I jumped when a hand landed on my arm. My head swung to Ryder. His mouth moved, and for a second I couldn't make out what he was saying. All I could hear was all the noise, screeching laughter and loud voices. I struggled to focus on what was happening in the car.
"Mallory?" he said.
I swallowed.
"What?"
His brows slammed down as he searched my face.
"You zoned out."
"You okay?"
Ainsley asked, clutching the back of my seat.
You're super pale.
You are. Ryder cupped my cheek. Holy shit, your skin is clammy.
Our eyes met.